So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, you've been set free. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the joy you've given us in your Holy, Holy Spirit, Father, that you've sent to us to comfort us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. For we never shall forget the day when our burdens were rolled away, Lord. We can give everything to you and never have to look back. What a freedom we have to truly have your forgiveness, because let us never forget the day when we gave everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Long years ago, when out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and he gladly set me free. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Now I can feel him by my side. My feeble steps, he comes to guide. When trials come, he comforts me. Through faith in him or sin, I have the victory. Never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him you're every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Let's sing it one more time for God. Let's celebrate the fact that we can have freedom. I never shall forget the day when the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, thank you for that freedom you've given us. Thank you for us thank you for the ability to be able to shout your name, Father, for the freedom we have in this country, Lord. But Father, most of all, thank you for the freedom you've given us, because forgiveness truly is forgiveness. It's not something that is given to us and taken back. It means it's wiped completely away, so we have a bright, bright future to hold on to. Because Father, you are our King, and your amazing love and your grace that you've given us has given us the future that we have. In all things, we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You are condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. You are condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love.
Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. What a humbling song to think about the sacrifice that you made for us. You want us to live a life of joy, a life that we can truly be forgiven for everything. All we have to do is ask and put you first. And we don't have to carry the burden of that around anymore, because there is no past. There's only a future, Lord. Father, we ask that you bless this church and the folks that are here, Lord, and those that couldn't be here, Lord. Be with them. And we thank you for what you're doing here and what you will do. In all things, we ask a special blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Birthday, please feel free to sign that up and put who you are honoring. We will place it in the bulletin and we will make the announcement on that Sunday. But Larry, in lieu of the flowers, how about if we sing you happy birthday here this morning? How does that sound? All right, so Mike, if you would lead us here.
Too low for me, that's too a G here. Happy birthday.
Before we continue, I'm going to invite all of the children to come forward, and we are going to listen to one of the VBS songs, Jesus Loves Me, I believe. So if all the kids would come forward and join me up here on the stage, and may we just be blessed by this Vacation Bible School song, that it has blessed their heart, and may it bless our hearts this morning. right. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you this morning. This morning's scripture reading is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 45. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 75, and we will be reading the first 12 verses of the 45th chapter of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Let us listen to a reading from Genesis 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you." May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue with this time of worship, with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
When I close my eyes, I can see your glory. When I raise my hands, I can touch your face. When I bow my knees, I stand before you and Christ is formed in me. Wake my soul, prepare on and transform your glory.
may be seated. We're finishing up titled Forgiven here this morning. And friends, you might be asking why the topic of forgiveness. And I am a personal believer that many times believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they don't appropriate or they don't apply exactly what God has done for them. And there is nothing more important in your life, in my life, than the concept and the aspect of forgiveness. And in fact, millions of dollars have been attributed, and years ago, they have been committed to create this seminar by these secular companies, by these companies that have no Christian roots, and their intent and their purpose to, you know, put on this seminar is to teach people how to forgive. You have psychologists, you have counselors, you have medical doctors that are all partaking in this seminar. And the reason is they have found that the element of forgiveness, it is connected to our physical health. And so this morning we're going to look at Joseph out of the book of Genesis. We read a portion of scripture there. And you might remember with me the account of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob. And he was, you know, the favored one. And we all know he had the coat of many colors because that's what his dad wanted him to wear. Joseph did nothing wrong. And he is given this dream by God. And this dream, he is given the vision that his brothers would bow down to him. And so he makes the unfortunate mistake by telling his brothers what would happen. And his brothers rise up against him. And they literally, they put him in a pit. And after they put him in the pit, Reuben, he speaks up, and Reuben says, "Do not kill him. We are not going to do that." And so Reuben goes away for a few moments, and then when he comes back, his other brothers, they conspired to sell him into slavery. And so they took his garment and they dipped it in blood, in a goat's, you know, a kid in their blood, and they went and they sent it ahead and told Jacob that, "Hey, your son Joseph was killed by a wild animal." And so while he's in slavery, he rises to the top of Potiphar's house, and then he gets falsely accused for something that he does not do and something that he was freely innocent of, and then he gets thrown into prison. And once he's in prison, he's saying, he has to be thinking, "Why am I even here?" And then you have two individuals, they get released, and he asked them before they were released not to forget him, and he's forgotten. And then ultimately, Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph is the only one that can interpret that dream. So then, once he interprets that dream, Pharaoh appoints him as governor over all of Egypt. You might ask yourself, and you can check me on all of this and read it in Genesis 37 all the way through Genesis 45, and I encourage you to do so. And I believe that God has given us this historical account of Joseph to show us what it is like to be unforgiving in our spirit and soul. Now listen to me for a moment. When we are unforgiving, we end up in a pit, as Joseph did, a pit of despair, a pit of resentment, a pit of bitterness, a pit in our life. But it doesn't stop there, friends. Once we're in that pit, then that pit sells us into slavery. And we become slaves to the bitterness that is growing in our heart. But don't let it stop there. Because once we are sold into the slavery of bitterness, we end up in prison. The prison of your heart and soul, the prison of resentment. And that's the progression that this takes place. But then when we're in that prison, we feel as though we are forgotten because we are so consumed with selfishness that we feel like it's all going against us and we can't understand why. And ultimately, when we do choose to forgive, then we are released to experience the power of God. You see, I don't have any clue or any idea when Joseph chose to forgive, but I personally believe it happened in that prison. And I'll tell you the reason why. Is because when he chose to forgive all the wrongs that had ever been done against him, it was only then that God unleashed his power and put him, it was only then and only then that he was able to yield the power in an appropriate way. I mean, we read earlier about his interaction with his brothers. And we read that, and we're going to see that. And I want us to notice three things. I want us to see the purpose. Because all of us have been wronged. All of us have hurts. All of us have heartaches. All of us have those things and those people in our lives that have done incredible harm to us. But I don't know about you. I've never been thrown in a pit. I've never been put in prison. I've never been falsely accused of, you know, infidelity. I've never been put in a place where I felt totally forgotten. But irregardless the severity of those wrongs that have been gone on against you and have been levied against you, irregardless, friends, it still works in the same way. And the hope and the heart of God for your life and my life is He wants you to experience the forgiveness that He died and bled and sacrificed His life in Jesus Christ for you and for me, so we could apply it to our life and ultimately we can experience His power. His power, and that's what it's all about. And as long as we're in the pit, as long as we are forgotten in our own minds, as long as we're enslaved to the despair and the resentment and the bitterness, as long as we are in prison of resentment, we are never, ever, ever going to experience the power of God in such a way that Joseph experienced it. Now, this is not to say that if you choose to forgive, that you will become the governor of Egypt. That is not what I'm saying. But it is to say this, that you will experience a freedom in your life that you never understood that was ever there. Because sometimes the enemy whispers these subtle little things in our mind, heart, and soul. And you know what I'm talking about. And then we have these conversations rolling through our head. I can't believe he or she did that. I can't believe that they did that. I can't believe that they said that about me. I can't believe that they're not doing blank. I can't believe that. And then we rehearse in our minds, hearts, and souls how we are going to respond to them. And we waste all this time, this emotional energy, this emotional strength, rehearsing how we are going to deal with that situation. And friends, God says, forgive. And He doesn't say just partially. He says, forgive and completely forgive. And so this morning, I want us to know the purpose. I want us to know the perspective. And I want us to know the power. So the purpose we find in Genesis 45. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. You see, friends, sometimes when we experience things, we can't understand the total purpose when we're going through them. Now, I want us to understand that it is not God's will that we get offended. It is not God's will that people hurt us. It is never God's will. But it is God's will that He will use things for His good and for His glory. And we're going to see that in the next slide. Romans 8:28, it tells us this. We know that in everything good, everything, God works for good with those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. I want to make this very clear. God doesn't cause hurts. He doesn't cause pain. He doesn't cause the bad thing that in our lives that takes place. That is not from God. There is one who causes and seeks to kill, destroy, and to steal. And that's the enemy. It's bad theology to believe that all this bad comes from God, because Jesus said it Himself. He said, good teacher, why do you call me good to the rich young man? There is only one that is good. God is good, friends. God will use things in our life. He will use the hurts, the heartaches, the pain. He will use them for His good if you love Him. But sometimes we twist it in our minds and we think that God has brought this to us. It's not God's will. God's will for you and for me was the Garden of Eden, perfection, utopia, where there was no strife, there was no pain, there was no heartache, there was no difficulties, there weren't any storms, there were no tornadoes. And God has chosen to work through all of these difficulties for His good. And we're going to see in a few moments that we're going to see that when we totally forgive, it unleashes the power of Jesus in your life, because God has given you and me a special purpose, a special ministry that no one else on this earth can do. And I want you to hear that. So we first have to understand it's God's purpose that He will work in all things for good if you love Him. So please don't turn on God. Don't turn on Him and say, why have you allowed this crazy thing to happen? And maybe you are here today, this morning, and maybe you have turned on God. And maybe you need to forgive God. And yes, I said that. Maybe you need to forgive God. Maybe you just need to bow your head and say, Jesus. Because in totally forgiving, and how we totally forgive, that is one component. And another component is forgiving yourself. I have counseled with many individuals that have had horrible situations that they have gone through, and they have done nothing, nothing to cause that situation to come into their life. And they always go back and they say, if I wouldn't have gone to this place, if I wouldn't have done this, if I wouldn't have been around this person, and then there is only one accuser of the brothers and sisters, friends, and that's the enemy. And so we need to forgive God for allowing things to come into our life, and we need to go further and forgive ourselves. And yes, you need to totally forgive God and to forgive yourselves. Because God's heart is this, is he wants to work in whatever difficulties, whatever hardship, whatever you're facing this day, he wants to work it for his good like he did in the life of Joseph. You know, and I have to imagine that Joseph, he's in that pit and he's struggling with disbelief. How could my own flesh and blood, my brothers, throw me in a pit? And it gets worse. And then they pull him out, and he had to have this quick, fleeting feeling of this elation of, oh, you guys came to your senses, finally. And they sell him to the Ishmaelites, and he's a slave. And then there had to be a time where he's struggling with that. I don't believe my brothers, you know, wait until I tell my dad what they did to me. Wait until I get out of here. And he's focused on his own plight. He's focused on his own difficulty. And so he rises up to be the head of Potiphar's household, and then Potiphar's wife turns on him and accuses him of infidelity, and he's left in prison. And I have to believe that while he's in prison, he rises up again into the ranks, but God, in his heart, in his soul, he was saying, Joseph, I want you to forgive because you are not ready to yield the type of power that I want to give to you. And I want you to hear that. I've shared it with ministry groups. The worst thing for anybody to do is to succeed before they're ready. The worst thing for you and for me to do is to be placed in a position of power, a position of authority. And we can see that Joseph was ready by his response to his brothers. He was ready to yield the power that God wanted to unleash in his life because of how he interacted with them. You believe that he had the power to just do them in right then? He could have said the word. And the Egyptians would have just off their heads, beheaded them. No, but he even protected them from their father. And he told them what to tell their dad so that they would retain their dignity, so that they would retain the respect. And friends, that tells me that Joseph fully and totally forgave his brothers for what they did. But we need to understand God's purposes are sometimes beyond what we can ever understand. I guarantee you that Joseph had no clue. He had no clue of him being positioned as governor of Egypt. He had no clue of that taking place. We only understand sometimes the purpose that God has is on the backside, and we turn around and we look at what God has allowed us to go through. We sometimes only understand God's purposes as once we have gone through it, and then we can clearly look back and we can say, now I understand the purpose. So we need to understand. We need to understand that God has a purpose, but we also need to understand it is not God's will for you or I to suffer injustices. It is not God's will for you or I to suffer the abuse that some of us have gone through. It's not God's will for you or I to suffer the heartache. Hear that. Please don't go out of here thinking that that is God's will. Because friends, it is not. It is not. But it is God's will that he will work in that situation for good with those who love him. And the key word there, friends, is with. Circle that in your Bibles. Because God wants to work with you and with me. He wants to work it for good. If you love God, if you are called according to his purpose, and I can tell you that you love God, otherwise you wouldn't be here. I can tell you that you are called according to his purposes, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And so it's God's purpose that we need to get in touch with. The second thing that we need to grasp is perspective. And we see this, the perspective of Joseph. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. The perspective of God, friends, is this. Do you realize that you and I are part of the remnant of God's kingdom? Do you realize that you and I are part of the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Are you aware that when you and I go through the difficulties, we go through the trials and the hardships and the offenses that the world is watching? I personally have been approached by many individuals during difficult seasons in my life, and people have come up to me and say, Max, how are you doing it? How are you doing it? If it were me, and many times these are non-believers that know of the injustices that I have suffered from, and many of the unbelievers and non-believers in Jesus have looked at me, and you know what they're seeing? They're not seeing Max. They are seeing a picture of God's goodness and a picture of his forgiveness, and they would never, ever, ever see that if we didn't go through the difficult times. I want you to understand that. And this is perspective, friends. I have family members that have experienced horrible, horrible injustices. And inevitably, I could tell you of a family member that, you know, part of her biological family, they ended up in church because of some of the things that this one family member went through. Now, picture that. Had she not gone through what she went through, I wonder if her grandmother, her grandfather, her aunts and uncles and her cousins and her half-brothers, if they would end up in church. That's perspective. That is perspective of God sending us before to preserve for a remnant on the earth, because, friends, it's God's will that none would perish, but that everyone would come to saving grace and everlasting life. And we see this in the book of Timothy, I believe, if we could go on. The Lord, 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you. Now, this is God's will, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so if we have the perspective of what God is doing, and this might be a hard pill for some of us to swallow. Some of us might be in the throes of being offended. Some of us might be in the throes of suffering from the heartache and the abuse and those things. And I understand, but it's God's perspective that he wants others to come to saving grace, to come to the saving grace of accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And he is willing to use all means possible. And sometimes that is allowing difficulties to happen, and we need to understand that it is not his will. But because it's not his will, he will use it for his glory. But the key is, we have to agree. We have to allow him to use it in our life. We can stop it, and we'll end up in the prison of resentment. We'll end up in the pit of despair. We'll end up in the slavery of bitterness, and we will end up in the selfish state of our being as Joseph was. Or we can say, Lord, help me. I need to forgive. And we can begin to totally forgive, and we can experience the third thing that I want you to notice with me this morning, and that's his power. And we see this in Joseph 45, 9 through 11, he says, make haste and go up to my father and say to him. I just underlined that right there. You see, the scripture tells us that his brothers, they were distressed for what they would tell their father, because they were afraid that they were going to lose their dignity. They were afraid that they were going to be outed. And we're going to see in a few moments, I'm going to give you some different elements from the book, you know, Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall, of the steps of totally forgiving. And Joseph, for his brothers, he protects them. And this is the power, friends. I don't know about you, but there have been several times in my life where people have done things that, quite honestly, they should have never done. And I was the recipient of the difficulties and the hardship that they have done. And when I have totally forgiven them, you know, a unique thing that happens is that God will sometimes serve them up to you on a silver platter like he did Joseph's brothers. And Joseph was in the total power position. He could have done anything that he wanted right there. But the reason that God allowed him to ascend to that place was this, that God knew his heart was right. And I'm telling you, you nor I nor any other believer on the face of this earth will ever reflect the true divinity of the grace of Jesus in the forgiveness that he exhibited when he laid down his life and gave his life for you and for me, is when you and I have the power to destroy somebody and we say, no, I am going to forgive them. I am going to allow them to keep their dignity. I'm going to allow them to keep their self-worth. I'm going to allow them. And friends, that is what Christianity is all about. It's not about getting back at. It's not about, you know, teaching them a lesson. It's not about telling everybody what they did. It's not about allowing us to be proven right. It's about sharing and reflecting the forgiveness that Jesus has given to you and to me. And many times when I'm tempted, when I am tempted, the Holy Spirit gets in there and he messes me up. The Holy Spirit will whisper in my mind, heart, and soul, and he will say something like this: where would you be if Jesus treated you that way? Ouch. But you know what? It's true. It's true. So we all wrestle with this. But if we want to experience the power of Christ, the power that God wants you to experience, we must totally forgive. And we must do it every single day. We must do it each and every day. And that is exactly what Joseph did. And he says, make haste and go up to my father and say to him. And then you can read this on your own time. We read it earlier. And he takes his brother, his brothers totally out of the equation. And he allows them to keep their dignity. He allows them to save face with their own father. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Joseph in that position, I'm going to be tempted with a whole lot of different things. Honestly, because that's the flesh. And maybe I would have ended up in prison a whole lot longer than what Joseph did. Because God would have said, you're not ready yet. I'm not going to give you that power. I'm not going to give you that position yet because you are not ready. And so we need to understand God's purpose, that he will work in all the situations that we encounter, all the hardship, all the difficulties. We need to grasp his perspective, that he wants to use these things to reach a lost people. And friends, there are many lost peoples in this world. He wants to show his forgiveness in a small picture in your life and mine to a watching world. And that's the perspective. And the third thing is he wants us to experience his power. We can go on to the next slide. 2 Corinthians says this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And he gave you, he gave me the ministry of reconciliation. Let that sink in. When you focus only on the difficulties, the offenses, and you choose, or I choose, to be unforgiving in our life, we miss the divine importance of what your life is here on this earth for. And the divine importance, friends, is this. It's that you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And what that means is that we have unreconciled people that are living lives apart from God the Father, a holy God, that have no relationship with Jesus Christ the Son. And God has given you and I that ministry. Some people say, well, I have no ministry, I have no gifts, I have no talents, I have no abilities. Ah, this does not say some people have been given the ministry of reconciliation. It's in the plural pronoun. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That means all of us. And because of this, when we have been offended, we have two options. We can choose to look inward, or we can choose to look outward. And we can say, God, use this for your purpose. Because, friends, it's your ministry. It's my ministry. The ministry of bringing people to Christ is not the pastor's job. I'll say that again. The ministry of bringing people to Jesus is not the pastor's job. Contrary to what some Christians believe, it's my job and only my job. And friends, it is not. It is all of our jobs. It is all of our ministries. It is every single one of us who are here. It is every single person at Zion, at Faith, at St. Michael's, at First English, at Helena, at Shiloh. It's every single Christian's purpose on this earth to be involved in the ministry of reconciling the lost with God. And how do we do that? I'm here to tell you, we do it by totally forgiving. Totally forgiving. Totally So you might be wondering, how on earth am I supposed to do this? And this is straight out of the book, Total Forgiveness. And these are the steps, pages 182 through 185. And R.T. Kendall, he lists it out this way, and he says, make the deliberate and irrevocable choice not to tell anyone what they did. You know, I've mentioned it here in Gibsonburg. People yak. People talk. I'm here to tell you, it's scary. It's absolutely scary, for good or for bad. They talk. I don't like it personally. I came from a place I could go to the store and see no one that I knew. And yet here, they talk. I do not like it. But we have an opportunity. We have a choice. We have a privilege and an honor that when we get offended, we can be the difference. We can be the exception rather than the norm in this village. We can make the deliberate and irrevocable choice not to tell anyone what they did. We think about Joseph. He asked all of his attendants to exit the room. Why? Because he knew what was about ready to take place. He made that choice, the deliberate and irrevocable choice, not to tell his attendants what they had done. That has to be our choice too, friends. We need to be pleasant to them should we be around them. Hear that. Sometimes the flesh will rise up in us. I'm going to tell so-and-so this. I'm going to make sure that their reputation just gets soiled. No. Exhibit the grace of God. Exhibit the forgiveness of Jesus that you and I have been given. Exhibit his love. Give away his love to them. Number three, if conversation ensues, say that which would set them free from guilt. Sometimes we will approach people that have wronged us and we'll say, do you realize what you did? And you know what, friends? I would venture to say 95% or better of the time, they are oblivious to them ever offending you. And so then you're going to say that, and then you're going to enter into a dialogue with someone that is saying, I didn't do anything wrong. And now you're going to have a whole set of awkward feelings going on between two people. And so, if conversation ensues, say that which would set them free from guilt. Number four, let them feel good about themselves. Why? Why would we want to do that? You see, when we have been offended, you see, it's not them that needs the healing. We need the healing. When we choose to totally forgive, when we have God's purpose, his perspective, and when we say, I am going to choose to totally forgive this person, we are admitting that I have been hurt, I have been wounded, and my heart, my soul needs healing. And so when we think about let them feel good about themselves, we're saying, yeah, we're not going to hold their feet to the fire. We're setting them free. We are releasing them from any, you know, thing as a result, a consequence. Because, friends, that is exactly what Christ does for you and for me. He sets us free. He lets us feel good about ourselves, even when we know it was our sin, our mistakes, our transgressions, our iniquities that placed him on that cross. And Jesus looks to you and looks to me, and he says, precious child, come to me. He thinks of you, and he breaks out in dancing. He prays for you every day. He lets you and I think good about ourselves. He wants that for you and for me. How can we give anyone anything less? Is this always easy? Heavens, no. This is probably one of the most difficult things that you or I will ever have to do. Number five, protect them from their greatest fear. Protection. Joseph, their greatest fear is, what are we going to tell Dad? He protected them, and he put the onus or the responsibility on God. Hey, go tell my father that God sent me here. Don't tell him you put me in a pit, you sold me into slavery, I ended up in prison, falsely accused, I was forgotten, and now I'm in this great place. No, don't tell him about the heartache in my heart, mind, and soul. Tell him that God put me here. He let them. Released them, and he protected them from their greatest fear. Number six, keep it up today, tomorrow, this year, and next. It's not a one-shot deal. I can tell you that I've been offended so harshly from different times that many times it's a daily thing. And you know what the enemy of our souls will do? He will shoot those darts and those arrows right in our mind, our heart, and soul, and he will bring things back up. And if you're not careful, And how do we do this? Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And how we do it is we start by praying, and we pray, and eventually we pray that God would bless them, not just so that we would receive the power from God, but that we get to the point where we earnestly mean it, and we want God's best for them. And then, friends, you are totally healed, and you are totally liberated, and you will experience the power that only God can give to you. That's what he wants for you. And so it's a daily thing. And that leads us to 7. We pray for them. And we don't just pray for them, Lord. You know, sometimes we pray imprecatory prayers. And imprecatory prayers are, Lord, break their teeth out. Jesus, you know, beat them over the head. You know, we pray all those things. That's not what Jesus is saying. I'm serious. If you're anything like me, I've prayed those prayers for some people. I really have. And then I have to start to think, okay, how would I want others to pray for me? A few weeks ago, we looked at the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. How do I want people to pray for me? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm human. I am unknowingly sometimes going to offend people. I have been at stores right here in town, and I have not seen people, and I have not said hello to them. That's an offense in some people's eyes. I have forgotten to call people. That's an offense in some people's eyes. And so my question to you is this. How do you want people to pray for you? Do you want them to pray what the theologians call the imprecatory prayers of that God would get you? No, I don't think so, friends. I think you want people to pray good prayers of blessing, good prayers of truth upon your life. And so if Jesus' words of truth, which they are, hold true, do unto others as you want others to do unto you. Our prayers must reflect such. Prayers of blessing. And friends, if we understand his purpose, his perspective, you and I will receive a power that you never understood ever existed. You may not become the governor of Egypt, I may not either, but I'm telling you, it's a power of freedom, a power of confidence, a power of joy, a power of love, a power of the ministry of reconciliation. And you and I will be actively involved in God redeeming a group of people that have been lost and unreconciled with him. You and I will be actively involved in drawing these people back to Christ when we say, I am going to totally forgive, and it's going to be completely. That's what's at stake, friends. Forgiveness. First, we apply it to our hearts, and then we apply it to others, and we forgive completely. Let us pray. Just God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. Heavenly Father, this is a tall order. We've been offended. We've been hurt. Many times, it's those that are closest to us that have hurt us the most. So, Father, we look to you. And we stand right now in the forgiveness that you have given to us. The forgiveness of Jesus, the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, the Christ, your Son, our Savior, our coming King. And we thank you and we bless you for that, O Jesus. May we truly be people of forgiveness. Not just partial forgiveness, but complete forgiveness, total forgiveness. May we be set free from the prison of bitterness and resentment, from the slavery of bitterness, from being in the pit of despair. And may you allow us to experience your power, the power of freedom, the power of mercy, the power of joy and confidence and love. And may you find us ready in our hearts, minds, and souls for you to unleash the power that only you have in our life. May we be part, active agents in the ministry of reconciliation to this fallen world, and may we be found to be faithful in applying what you have given to us, as we heard last week, not to keep it for ourselves, but to give it away freely, completely. May we truly give away the forgiveness that you have given to us, for we know you will just give us more. And we bless you and we thank you. We praise you. We pray all this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus, the first and the last, the Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Jesus.
As we close here this morning, one thing that I tell many counselees that come to me, if you're not careful, your past will determine your future. And if we have a past where we've been failing to forgive and we haven't been quick to be the forgiving type of people that God has called us to be, then it will determine the future of your life. And so may you, may I, truly experience the liberating forgiveness by giving away what God has given to you and to me. May his love saturate your soul, and may you experience the peace that is beyond any understanding of this world. And may the joy that David exhibited when the Ark of the Covenant came back to Jerusalem and busted out and started to dance, may the joy be the anchor to your soul, because friends, you are giving away what Jesus gave to you. And that's the gift of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you know that gift of living a life of forgiveness for others. In the name of the Father, in Jesus, amen.